this right here could be the biggest moment of his career.
Is it his time? Yes! Noah Watson is wearing a green jacket at Augusta.
There's no doubt about it. The Bear has come out of hibernation.
All right, ready to roll heading into week 10 of the PGA Tour season. This is the Golf Preview Podcast. On Pre-Games Network, I'm your host, Will Doctor, and I'll be giving you all the picks and predictions you need for the Arnold Palmer Invitational at Bay Hill. Stick around to the very end of the podcast. We'll also give out a best bet outright winner for the Puerto Rico Open. But as far as the Arnold Palmer is concerned, this will be the fourth signature event of the season. I've talked a lot over the last week on various platforms about how the ratings for PGA Tour Sundays this year has been absolutely garbage. The Mexico Open was a great story with Jake Knapp going from a nightclub bouncer to a PGA Tour winner in a year. That was a great story, but you had no stars present in the field. It's fine if you're going to have Jake Knapp as your winner, but you need someone like Victor Hovland or Jordan Spieth or John Rahm, Brooks Koepka, Rory McIlroy. You need one of those guys right there pushing the underdog to formulate that good David versus Goliath story. And listen, the same goes for last week's action at PGA National. I love Austin Ekroat. You can color me obsessed with Austin Ekroat. And I was fired up to see him get his first PGA Tour win. He was on the same national championship winning Oklahoma State team with, you know, Victor Hovland and Sam Stevens and Matthew Wolf and Chris Ventura, all, you know, Hovland and Stevens and Ekroat members of the PGA Tour. You have Wolf on LIV and you have Chris Ventura over on the European Tour and Korn Ferry Tour. So quite a team that came out and has come out and has made an impact on professional golf. But, you know, back to PGA National, what occurred last week. You know, Ekroat, Austin Ekroat, he was a player who was expected to come out on tour and win immediately. And while Wolf and Hovland came out and made, you know, a splash in pro golf, winning relatively quick from the time they turned pro, Ekroat had to put in some time on the Korn Ferry Tour. He got his PGA Tour card in 2022, and 2 years in, he notches his first PGA Tour victory. Great story. But you look at the top 10 names on the leaderboard and you see Erik van Rooyen, who was going after his second PGA Tour victory of the season. I'll give him a tip of the cap there. You had Minwoo Lee, who is a good young name. He's a potential star who's only 25 years old. But this guy, you know, he hasn't won anything yet. The fans love his... The fans love Minwoo's Instagram videos where he calls himself the chef because he always feels like he's cooking on the golf course. I got news for you, Minwoo. It's time to start cooking up some wins if you want to be noticed by Barney at the bar. I personally, and neither does Barney or Paul at the pub, we don't consider Minwoo a needle-moving star yet. So Erik van Rooyen and Minwoo were the closest chasers to Ekroat. Then you had Cam Young, Jake Knapp, K.H. Lee, Shane Lowry, David Skins. What a snooze Skins is. I was hoping that he wouldn't be in that final group on Sunday. You had Keith Mitchell and you had Billy Horschel as far as the top 10 at the Cognizant was concerned. I know all of those names. You might know a few, but the fact is you haven't had a top 10 player in the world on the top of a leaderboard for the last 2 weeks on the PGA Tour. None of them played in Mexico. None of them played in PGA National besides Rory and Cam Young, and it showed in the ratings. Through the first 9 weeks of the season, I just got confirmation of this earlier, through 9 weeks of the season, the only tournaments to top their Sunday ratings from last year was Nick Dunlop's win at the American Express and Grayson Murray's win at the Sony Open. So that is not good. None of the signature events have topped the ratings from last year. So kind of like most of my cards so far this season, very few of these tournaments have produced any kind of good product. I would say the season opener at the Century was a success with Chris Kirk winning. He's a great story from the perspective of his recovery from alcoholism, but he's a pretty boring player otherwise. You know, I'm shocked that DeSony outdid their numbers from last year because to me, you know, Grayson Murray, great story. He has turned his life around as well from a personal standpoint. But Sony's still a pretty boring tournament as far as I was concerned. The amateur Nick Dunlop winning in Coachella Valley was monumental, as we haven't seen an amateur win on the PGA Tour since Phil Mickelson did it at the Tucson Open in 1991. Torrey Pines was a huge sleeper, with the unknown Frenchman Matthew Pavon winning his first PGA Tour event at the Farmers. Credit to the PGA Tour for Pebble Beach. Pebble Beach this year would have been a great finish had Sunday not been rained out. I have not had a greater viewership experience this year than when I watched Wyndham Clark shoot 60 on Saturday at Pebble Beach. To watch the reigning U.S. Open champion do that was very special. No, I do not think Clark is a needle mover yet. If he walked into the bar, Barney would have no clue who he is. But nonetheless, he's been an exciting talent to watch over the last year, Wyndham Clark has. I thought the Waste Management Phoenix Open was fantastic, with Nick Taylor winning for the second straight time over the last year. Keep an eye out for me talking about the Canadian Nick Taylor as we approach the majors. This is a guy who has won at two pressure-packed venues over the last year. He won his native Canadian Open in front of a massive crowd, and then he was able to withstand the chaos in Phoenix to win at TPC Scottsdale. I thought the Waste Management was a A-plus product from the tour. And then you had another great week of golf at Riviera with Hideki Matsuyama finally breaking out of his slump there at the Genesis. You had a great leaderboard in LA with Hideki and Zalatoris chasing down hometown favorites Xander Schauffele and Patrick Cantlay on Sunday. That was a huge win for the PGA Tour. And then the last 2 weeks have been absolutely snoozers. Mexico Open, Cognizant Classic. The tour has to put on a better product at a top five golf course on the PGA Tour and PGA National. So I would say four of the first nine tournaments of the year have been entertaining products. And I cannot put Chris Kirk's victory at Kapalua on that list. The American Express with Nick Dunlop, the amateur, was entertaining. I'll give Pebble Beach a tip of the cap despite the Saturday finish. You know, they had Wyndham Clark, Ludvig Åberg, Jason Day, Justin Thomas, and Scottie Scheffler all in the top 10 of that leaderboard. What a Sunday that would have been at Pebble had it not been for the weather. And then Waste Management and Riviera were great products, in my opinion. The next stretch of tournaments will give us a great sense of the way fans feel about golf this year. We go directly to the Players' Championship after Bay Hill this week. Then the PGA Tour will finish up the Florida swing at the Valspar Championship, where Justin Thomas and Will Zalatoris will tee it up at Innisbrook. And then we go to two events in Houston and San Antonio. I'm sorry, not two events. They'll just go from Houston to San Antonio to the Masters. Very important stretch of golf ahead. And I have a lot of work to do for you as I enter week nine, down 14 units on the season. Mexico Open in Palm Beach was an absolute catastrophe. Out of 15 bets I placed over the last 2 weeks, I only hit two of them, which is about as bad as Patrick Cantlay on Sundays. The two shining moments out of last week's card came with Keith Mitchell hitting that top 20 ticket at plus 190. Talk to my pal Dale Dobek, aka Willie Heck. He had the top 10 ticket. So kudos to Willie. And then Russell Henley taking down Justin Thomas in the minus 125 matchup also hit. So really, regardless of Mitchell and Henley over Poston, total trash on my part over the last 2 weeks and through 9 weeks in general. We're going to get back on track here with this Bay Hill card. All right, today we will discuss the top five favorites on the odds boards. We will do one matchup and one pick to place. Then we will move on to an outright winner and a sleeper. We will do a first round leader, a lineup, and a scoring prediction. and then we will finish things off with a best bet for the week. Let's start in the favorites with Scottie Scheffler at plus 750 on BetOnline. The first thing I'm looking at this week is driving accuracy off the tee. Arnold Palmer built this course with the emphasis on placement off the tee. They grow the rough up, but even more so this year. So if I had to pick one stat to follow this week, it's got to be driving accuracy. And as far as Scheffler, driving is the very least of his concern, as he is ninth on the PGA Tour and stroke gained off the tee coming into this week. You know, he's played the AP invite three times, and he's gone 15th, win in 2022, and finished fourth last year. Just like most other events, had Scheffler putted well at Bay Hill in 2020 and 2023, he would have won those iterations of the AP as well. Scheffler has had a chance to win in nearly every start this year, with the exception of the American Express. And even then, he finished 17th that week at La Quinta. Do as you wish with Scheffler this week. You're only losing a fraction of the value in plus 750. I had him at plus 770 when I did my blind odd draw at the beginning of the week. You know, if you want to bet on Scheffler this week, you have the green light from me. But world number one, Scottie Scheffler, will not be on my card this week. All right, we move on to Rory McIlroy at plus 900 on BetOnline, MGM, and Bovada. And when I complain about stars not being at the top of the leaderboard, Rory's performance last week at the Cognizant comes to mind. He was in contention through about 50 holes of this golf tournament. And then on the par 4 16th, toward the end of the third round, Rory rinsed his approach in the water and tried to hack it out. Instead of just going to the drop zone and taking his bogey, he tried to hack it out and ended up making triple. And just like that, Paul at the pub did not know a single soul on top of the leaderboard at PGA National. That can't happen for Rory. You cannot make controllable errors at a time when a bogey is not going to kill you. You would never, ever see Tiger Woods or Jack Nicklaus attempt to hit a golf ball out of submerged water. You got to be an idiot to do so. You would never see either one of the greats do that. They would go to the drop zone and get up and down from there. For some reason, I don't know if it's the off-course distractions. I don't know what his pulse is on LIV versus the PGA Tour anymore, but Rory has not finished better than 21st in his last three events. And this is what makes it worse. It's not because of bad golf. It's because of bad course management and bad decisions. Now, Rory's resume at Bay Hill is something that you cannot argue with. He's a two-time winner of Arnie's event, and he has not finished worse than 21st here since 2018. I would say after Rory lost strokes on the greens in the first tournament of the year on Bermuda greens at PGA National, I am out on Rory this week. I'm very curious to see how he rolls it around Bay Hill. Plus, if you look at his matchups, you're not going to take Rory over Scheffler this week, and you're sure as hell not taking Rory at minus 160 over Xander Schauffele this week. So I am out on Rory this week. We are on to Victor Hovland at 18-1 on BetOnline. I will have Hovland in a matchup this week over Colin Morikawa at minus 120 on BetOnline. We will discuss that in the matchups, but overall on Hovland this week, it's interesting since he fired short game guru Joseph Mayo before the start of the season, Hovland has lost shots around the greens in each of his first three starts of the season. So we are seeing the chipping regress a bit from Hovland, which is not great. But I have a ton of respect for what Hovland has done around Bay Hill the last two seasons. Second and 10th over the last two editions. Hovland has excelled here from tee to green, and even though he didn't chip up to standards around Bay Hill last year, he still finished 10th. He's a guy who played in the Arnold Palmer Cup as an amateur. He's seen this golf course, you know, probably upwards of 8 to 9 times in tournament play. I know he's only played here twice as a pro, but you look at all the amateur stuff that goes on at Bay Hill. Victor Hovland had a very good amateur career, and that included some great finishes in that Arnold Palmer Cup at Bay Hill. So we'll talk more about that Hoblin over Morikawa matchup in just a second. I want to get to Xander Schauffele real quick here at 22-1 on BetOnline. I really like Xander Schauffele this week coming off a fourth place finish at the Genesis. That was a tournament where he was in the final pairing on Sunday with Cantlay. Xander nor Patrick got the job done, but the difference was Cantlay was seemingly off with the driver and could not get any. He only hit four fairways in that final round on Sunday. Cantlay did at Riviera, and I would consider Sunday at Riviera a choke moment for Cantlay. I use that word very lightly, but that's what it was. You go deep the first couple rounds, and then you only hit four fairways on Sunday. That is the definition of a choke. Whereas in Xander's case, that Sunday at Riviera, he hit the ball well. He hit a lot of fairways, a lot of greens, and just didn't make enough birdie putts down the stretch. So I do not fault Xander for the Sunday at Riviera, despite the fact that he was in the final group. I think there was a ton of positives to take out of that week for him and his camp. And when you talk about his performance at Bay Hill, when you talk about Xander's performance at Bay Hill, a lot of people will be turned off by what he's done at Bay Hill over his last two starts here. But when we get to the outrights, yes, when we get to the outrights, I'll explain to you why that is not a concern. You might have guessed it, but one of two of the outrights for this week will be Xander Schauffele at 22-1 on BetOnline. I had Xander at 21-1 on my blind draw. Great to see him open up at 22-1 this week. We move to Colin Morikawa at 25-1 on BetOnline. And this is just not the week that you want to be on Morikawa. I'll save you some time here. In three starts at Bay Hill, Morikawa has lost at least half a stroke on the greens in all of them. He putts horrendous around Arnie's Place. This is a player who has not figured out how to putt on Bermuda greens. Morikawa, he's a West Coast guy who putts better on POA and bent grass. I'm usually a pass on him through the Florida swing. We'll talk about him again next week at the Players, depending on how he plays this week. But we are a pass on Colin Morikawa at Bay Hill, and let's get into the matchups. All right, we move into the matchups. We kind of continue the favorites conversation into this one and only matchup. It's going to be Victor Hovland over Colin Morikawa at -120 on BetOnline. And despite some of the recent chipping woes, I think Victor's game is in a solid spot heading into this week. He had some trouble with the irons in Hawaii and at Pebble. He got those sorted out with a great ball striking week en route to a 19th place finish at the Genesis. I like Hovland against Colin Morikawa, who, like I just said, cannot roll the rock on Bermuda greens. It's really that simple from the perspective of Morikawa during the Florida swing. So for the only matchup of the week, it'll be Victor Hovland over Colin Morikawa at -120 on BetOnline. We move into the one pick to place for the week. It'll be Matthew Fitzpatrick to top 10 at +280 on FanDuel. And I think following the 21st place finish at last week's Cognizant, I think this is the perfect time to jump on world number nine, Matthew Fitzpatrick. He began 2024 with some inconsistencies week to week. Fourth at the Hero, missed cut at the Sony, 15th in Phoenix, missed cut at Riviera. So I was really shying away from him over the first 5 weeks of the season. But he went to PGA National last week and was just brilliant from tee to green. And he was positive in every statistical denomination from tee to green. That was really timely for Fitzpatrick because he now comes to a course in Bay Hill where he's finished top 10 in four of his last five starts. I love the Englishman as our one pick to place this week. It's Matthew Fitzpatrick to top 10 at +280 on FanDuel. We move along to the two outright winners for the week. Number one is going to be Xander Schauffele at 22-1 on BetOnline. And I know the jingle. Xander has, gone on these top five runs where he's in contention every time we see him, and it just feels like he can't get the job done on Sunday. I was actually encouraged by his Sunday performance, Riviera. I know he didn't win, but he played smart. He didn't make massive mistakes, and He just didn't get enough putts to fall at the end. But nonetheless, that was Xander's fourth top 10 in his last five starts. And in that stretch, he has not had a blemish to his game. The one questionable aspect to Schauffele is his course history at Bay Hill. 24th in 2020, where he putted fantastic and was solid on all fronts except the chipping. And then 39th last year, where he just had one of those random bad weeks with the driver. So I am not worried about Xander Schauffele from the course history perspective. He's a wonderful driver of the golf ball, has been his whole career. And there is nothing that he did last year in 2020 that would make me believe that he isn't comfortable or isn't cut out for Bay Hill. So outright winner number one is going to be Xander Schauffele at 22-1 on BetOnline. Outright number two is going to be Cam Young at 28-1 on BetOnline. And you can just feel that 26-year-old Cam Young is knocking on the door of that first PGA Tour victory. Young comes to Bay Hill off a fourth place finish at PGA National. He has not finished worse than 16th in his last three starts. Now, Cam Young has, he's had a good start to the season, don't get me wrong, but until last week, he really wasn't putting his full game together. Let me give you some examples. Starting with the Hero Dubai Desert Classic in January, Cam Young finished third and lost shots on the greens. Cam Young finished eighth in Phoenix, lost shots around the greens with the chipping. He finished 16th at Riviera, where he lost shots on the green with the putter. And then he goes to PGA National last week, finishes fourth at the Cognizant, and he was positive in every stat across the board. So, number one is the fact that Cam Young has clearly been rounding into form over the last three starts. Number two is the fact that he's played extremely solid at Bay Hill over the last 2 years. 13th in 2022, and then bettered it last year with a 10th place finish. And number three, this is not a course where you have to go out and make a ton of putts. 11 under, 5 under, and 9 under have been the winning scores in the last three editions of the AP. And that fits Cam Young's game to a T. He's a great ball striker that can get grindy and gutty on tough golf courses. CC his record in major championships. And we love Cam Young on courses that are not going to warrant a birdie fest. So for outright winner number two, it's going to be Cam Young at 28-1 on BetOnline. All right, let's get to the sleeper. It's going to be Harris English to top 20 plus 450 on BetOnline. And after what was a really slow 2023, Harris English has regained form here in 2023. Comes into Bay Hill off a seventh place finish Riviera and what was his second top 10 of the year. You want to talk about a player who has no problem ever hitting fairways. That is Harris English, and that is why he's been so successful at Bay Hill over the years. English finished runner-up to Kitayama last year, and that was his second top 10 in his last three starts at Bay Hill. We saw early in the spring English having some issues with the iron play. But when I watched him at Riviera and when I looked at the stats after the final round, he was statistically positive across the board at Genesis. So it looks like English got the iron play woes under control. He's 28th on the PGA Tour in strokes gained total heading into this week. And I think he's a fantastic sleeper option for the AP. So it's going to be Harris English to top 20 at plus 450 on BetOnline. We move along to the two lineups. I'll give you a Yahoo lineup. I'll give you a PGAtour.com lineup. We'll start with Yahoo. It's the six-man lineup with a $200 budget. We will go with Xander Schauffele at $43. Number two, we'll go with Matthew Fitzpatrick at $42. Number three, we'll go with Cam Young at $36. At number four, we'll go with Will Zalatoris at $33. People are staying away from Zal this week because he finished 53rd here last year. Don't be fooled. Don't let one of these 23 handicappers tell you to stay away from Zalatoris. Zal, played here last year right when that back injury started to flare up. Remember, Zal finished 10th in his first start at Bay Hill in 2021. And he's a great lineup pick coming off that runner-up finish, Riviera. So for number four, we'll go with Will Zalatoris. For number five, we will go with the veteran who's picked up two top five finishes at Bay Hill over his career, and that will be Adam Scott at $23. And then number six in the caboose, we'll go with the precision ball striker and TCU alumni and Tom Hoagie at $20. As far as the PGAtour.com fantasy lineup, we'll have four starters, we'll have two bench players, and you can only use a player three times over the course of the season. For number one, we'll use Cam Young for the second time this season. For number two, we'll use Matthew Fitzpatrick for the first time this year. For number three, another first-timer in Harris English. For number four, I'll go with Tommy Fleetwood. And we haven't talked about Fleetwood today. He's coming off a 10th-place finish Riviera, and he's accumulated three top 10s at Bay Hill over his career. You have the green light to bet on Fleetwood. He's not a big-time player. He doesn't have the chops to close a big-time PGA Tour tournament, but you can bet on him from a top 10 and top 20 perspective how you like. And he will be in my PGA Tour lineup this week. So number four will be Tommy Fleetwood, and then the two bench players will be Tom Hoagie and Justin Rose. All right, people, a break from the golf to tell you about what we have going on over at pregame.com. Listen to me. Go over to pregame.com, purchase any picks on pregame.com. You've got NBA, you've got college basketball, you've got MLB opening day around the corner. Go ahead and get on pregame.com, purchase some picks from the sharpest handicappers on the planet, and use my coupon code Palmer20. Once again, that is Palmer20 for 20% off all your purchases at pregame.com for listeners of this golf podcast only. Once again, that code is Palmer20, and it is good for 7 days from the podcast release. Best of luck. Once again, go to pregame.com, purchase some picks, use the coupon code Palmer20. All right, back to the golf. All right, let's get to a first round leader, and it will be Patrick Cantlay to lead the first round at 25-1 on DraftKings. And isn't it amazing how Cantlay leads first round scoring on the PGA Tour by over two strokes? It is amazing how well this guy plays on Thursdays and Fridays, yet we see a totally different Cantlay on Saturdays and Sundays. I'm going with the numbers here. Cantlay has been absolutely flawless in opening rounds with a 64.6 scoring average. Unbelievable, really, when you think about it. I mean, 64 is deep. So first round leader for the Arnold Palmer Invitational. It will be Patrick Cantlay to lead the first round at 25-1 on DraftKings. As far as the scoring prediction, pretty straightforward here. You have wet conditions on Wednesday at Bay Hill with an 85% chance of rain. That will soften things up a bit. And then you have perfect weather all week until Sunday, where there is a 35% chance of rain in the Orlando area. I like 10 under par to win this week. You'll have some easier scoring days on Thursday and Friday, and then we will see what happens with the weather on Sunday. So 10 under par is going to be my scoring prediction. All right, we move along to our two best bets. I'll give you one for the Arnold Palmer Invitational, and I'll give you another one for the secondary PGA Tour event going on this week at the Puerto Rico Open. We start with the AP best bet. It's going to be Jordan Spieth over Sam Burns at even money on BetOnline. And Spieth has finished top five at Bay Hill each of the last two times he's played. Spieth was totally screwed over with that disqualification at Riviera. And if Spieth had not been disqualified, I believe he would be coming into Bay Hill off back-to-back top 10 finishes. Sam Burns, on the other hand, hats off. He's been playing well so far this year, but he's only finished better than 36th once in six starts at Bay Hill. And he missed the cut at Arnie's Place this time last year. So for the best bet for the Arnold Palmer Invitational, it'll be Jordan Spieth over Sam Burns at even money on Bovada. And for my Puerto Rico Open best bet, this one's exciting. It will be Daniel Berger to win at 20-1 on William Hill. This is a perfect spot for Berger to officially make his comeback known. You cannot name me another four-time PGA Tour winner in the field in Puerto Rico this week. I think Berger has a huge chip on his shoulder over the fact that players like Webb Simpson are getting sponsors exemptions into Bay Hill. That should be Berger getting that exemption. He has to prove himself first and get his world ranking points back on track. And I truly believe that he will wipe the floor with that weak field in Puerto Rico this week. So for my Puerto Rico Open best bet, it will be Daniel Berger to win at 20-1 on William Hill. And that'll do it here for the Golf Preview Podcast on the Pregame Network. For more golf content, you can find me on X at DrMedia59. And we will talk next week prior to the fifth major of the year in the Players at TPC Sawgrass.